Good morning. We get to start our, I'm Debbie Wilson, by the way. I know it says that in the bulletin. But we are ready to start Palm Sunday service with some hymns. So if you have some favorites that you would like to share, Austin has graciously agreed to lead them because I don't sing. I lip sync. So I welcome you on this beautiful Palm Sunday, the first Sunday in spring that we are here celebrating. So if you have a favorite hymn, would you shout out a number and we'll do the first two verses. Diane's going to be playing and Austin will lead us. First two, right? Yeah.
Yes, yes. Unless you want the first and last, it's up to you.
Okay, thank you. Austin will follow your direction.
Yeah.
Dina.
431.
We're going to sing the whole thing. 431. Pastor Dina. 431.
Let's
see if we can find that one. 291. Okay. What a wondrous love this is. What verses?
1 and 2.
Thank you.
some work on that one. Okay. Mary. What?
526.
526. Okay. Here we go. What a friend we have in Jesus. This is very true. In the balcony. 144. Request from the balcony. Come up on high. 144. Okay. Service. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Beautiful as always. Good morning, Hosanna, and welcome to the House of Faith. I'm so wonderful to see you here this morning as we celebrate Palm Sunday. If you will see that there are red pew pads at the end of the pew, if you would please take a moment to sign in and let us know your attendance here today. We appreciate that. We have a few announcements. A couple of things I want to draw your attention to. And I know we've got birthdays, but there is a slip for Lily's that is in an insert in your bulletin. Today is the last day to be able to have a Lily present for next Sunday. So hopefully you will do that, and you can leave this in the offertory plate in the back. There is also what's happening. There's a long list. I won't go through every single one of those, but you can read those. First of all, let's talk about birthdays. We are very blessed to keep celebrating birthdays every Sunday. So we're going to wish those that are listed here to have a wonderful month and a glorious year as they move beyond March into April. The March newsletter is available in the Narthex. If you would like to, you can always get it through email. You can read it online, or you can pick one up in the office. So it is available to you. I always like to have a hard copy, but when I'm not here every Sunday, going online really is helpful to be able to see the news of our church and what is going on. The deadline for bringing plastic Easter eggs and candy for the children's Easter egg hunt is today, but you can still drop them off by the office tomorrow if you forgot. So I know they're going to be getting that ready. One of the things I'd like to encourage all of you to do is to invite your grandchildren or great nieces and nephews, neighbors, to come and join in the Easter egg hunt. I know it was a highlight when my girls, who are in their 40s, would come on Easter Sunday, and they had multiple Easter egg hunts in their life, but this one at church was always fun because they were running around our beautiful campus trying to see who could get the most eggs, and it's always very generous. So please encourage, if you have little ones next door, just invite them. The Easter egg hunt will be at 11 o'clock. Worship service is also at 9:30 before that. And we have a beautiful flower cross that has been a tradition at this church for, well, as long as I've been here. And if you have a flower, I know my roses aren't blooming yet, but if you have some flowers in your yard, please feel free to bring them, and you can put them on the cross before church. We are the cereal church. And if you are so inclined, please bring a few boxes of cereal, and you can leave them in the Narthex, and they will be distributed to ICSC to families in need. And it's always, with my being involved in family assistance, it's always wonderful to have the community bring contributions to help those in our community that have need. Steve Mickel is still looking for gently used casual adult clothing for inmates that are being released from prison. They will take slippers, flip-flops, sneakers, t-shirts, casual shirts, pants or jeans, and if you put them in the Narthex, Steve will collect them. And Steve, just on a note, we have stuff for you at Family Assistance. Okay, all right. All right. Hearts Grow, it's the second and fourth Sunday. Children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of worship. And it's a great Christian growth and worship experience for all ages. What I would encourage you to do is, as you invite those young people to come on Easter Sunday for the Easter egg hunt, we can talk with them maybe and their families a little bit more about being part of Hearts Grow. And I believe that is, Once I Was a Beehive is our April 6th movie, free movie down in Faith Theater 2 downstairs. And there's always a great group of people that come and enjoy the snacks that Deb and crew provide for those attending the movie. So I would encourage you to do that. Okay. I think that covers the announcement. So if you would stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. One thing I didn't mention, but I think since you're all standing, we have on the insert also is quite a prayer list. So please keep all those that are listed here in your prayers. I think we get messages frequently from church that say our prayers have been answered, other people's prayers have been answered. So it's a powerful community. So I hope you will continue to pray for those that are listed here as well as anything that comes forthcoming. Okay, call to worship. Hosanna to the Son of God. Bless and honor him with glory and power. Hosanna to the Son of God. Extol and worship him with thanks and praise. Shout for joy, our King marches on to save the sin-sick souls. Shout for joy, our King marches on, proclaiming his kingdom is here now. And our first hymn is Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, 278, verses 1 through 3. Now is the time for passing of the peace. If you would please greet one another. Hosanna to all.
Thank you. like to recognize those who have come to join us via Zoom. Helen, hello, Helen. So good to see you.
You're not on.
Am I not on? If you would, just hit the microphone for me here. Hit the switch once more.
And we will do joys and concerns in just a few minutes. Okay. Is it not working?
No, okay. You can go
there. Okay. All right. Okay. We're going to get the microphone so that we can do joys and concerns here in just a second. So hopefully you will. You love batteries, you love technology until they don't work right.
Is the mic working? Can you hear?
Okay. Well, I have a joy of being here on this beautiful Sunday. And I'm glad it wasn't raining when we had to come to church. So we need the rain.
This is Trudy Baird, and I need to, my partners in crime aren't here this morning. I got one back there, I guess, April, and everything, but Alita went back into the hospital tonight, or last night, and is still having asthma issues and needed treatment, and she has still hadn't come home this morning, so. And Judith has a little bit of a sinus issue going on, so we do pray for them.
Hi, Becky King. Anyone else? Well, I think we're all blessed. So I think that's wonderful.
Well, actually, you know, while I'm walking, I'm going to call Kenny.
Oh.
And Trudy to come forward here. We are having a very special moment for Zelda. Zelda was a little girl where Kenny and his family lost not long ago. And Trudy made a beautiful bear to give to the family in memory of Zelda. And would you mind sharing?
Kenny, this is the shirt that you gave me from little Zelda. I met Zelda one time at the pastor's luncheon, and she reminded me so much of my grandfather when we were little and how we used to crawl all over our grandpa and get our fingers in his pocket and get all the pens, and you know, that's always fun. Well, Zelda really touched my heart that day, and when I heard the news, it just broke my heart. And so I asked for a shirt or something from Zelda that she liked to wear, and this is what I was given, and this is what I worked with. Here's your memory bear for Zelda, and he's got all the shirts.
That shirt was given to her by my sister.
Yes, and there was a logo on the bottom, and it looked like a peace sign.
Oh, yeah.
And so we had to put it on the
bottom. Beautiful.
And the other thing that, it was, you know, a baby is 3 years old, and she wasn't real big, so I ran out of fabric, but I'm a quilter, so that doesn't stop me. I dug through the scraps, and if you'll notice, if he shares later, I quilted this part to make the sleeve, the yarn. So it's unique.
Very unique. Thank you so much, Trudy.
Thank you.
We'll have a little prayer because, like, you know, Zelda was the third daughter they have, and they still have two daughters, but it just broke their heart when the youngest one went to be with the Lord. And this definitely will give them the comfort and peace they need. So why don't we just have a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of life we have, but in this life, oh Lord, we go through time of sorrow and time of separation, and it was very painful for Zelda's parents to lose her. And we pray, oh Lord, that you surround the family and Kenny and all those who in sorrow because they miss Zelda so much. We ask you, O Lord, to surround all of them with your peace and with your love, and let them receive comfort from your presence. And we ask you to especially surround the two sisters and the parents, that they may know that Zelda is in your kingdom, resting in peace. In Jesus' name.
And I don't necessarily want you to have to turn your necks around, but I think they're still up there. We have a great group of young people that we're going to be seeing shortly, and they are from our Parents' Night Out. So we are so blessed to have you here in the sanctuary today. So thank you so much for coming and sharing with us, which we'll see shortly.
All righty, and I'd still like to recognize Helen, our faithful worshiper, and June and Joyce as well. Hello, hello. And we have David joining us from all the way Hemet. And good morning to you, Alicia. And we have Bill in here. I mean, is this yours, Bill? Oh, okay. All right, very nice. So good to see you, April and Bill.
There's one more person I'd like to recognize, okay? And I got to say a personal hello and welcome this morning, but Dale Barwick is back working the sound booth with Susan Walmsley, and it's so nice to have him back in church and being, I think, as fully recovered as he is progressing towards. So welcome back, Dale. Thank you for being here. Okay. And if you would please join me in the unison prayer as printed in the bulletin or up on the screen. Dear Jesus, our crucified Redeemer, beyond the shout of the crowd, you saw the way of suffering, riding a foal into Jerusalem. Your eyes were fastened onto Calvary, not wavered by sorrow nor weakened by pain. You paid it all for our sins. Grant us steadfast faith so that we may not give up nor give into our shame, that in the end we may share the glory of Easter with you. For his name's sake, amen.
Let us be in the attitude of prayer in silence as we remember all those who are in need of our care, of our support, and of our prayers as well. As we join our prayers together, O Lord, we acknowledge our need of your presence in our lives. We need you every moment. We need your presence. We need the assurance that comes from your Holy Spirit. We need the touch of your healing in our lives to heal all our brokenness. Heal our body and spirit. Heal our relationship. Heal the brokenness in the world. We need you, O Lord, for everything. So we join our prayers, our hearts together, acknowledging our need and acknowledging that you meet all our needs without failing. And we thank you, Lord, for listening to our prayers. As we remember your victorious entry into Jerusalem, we ask your powerful presence in our lives. Lord, you were facing the painful death on the cross, but you faced it, O Lord, instead of shunning it away, instead of running from it. You faced it, and you victoriously overcome the power of sin and death and rose again on the third day. There are many problems, O Lord, that we face in our lives, and we ask your strengthening presence in our struggles. And we ask you to empower us through your Holy Spirit so that we can confront our problems. And we know, O Lord, as we do that, you will give us grace and you will help us find ways to deal with all our troubles so that in the end, we may be victorious. We thank you, Lord, for the promise of victory in our lives. So as we join our hearts and prayers, our thanksgiving unto you, we worship you for all the wonderful things that you have done for us in our lives. And as we recognize what you have done, and as we recognize your presence in our lives, we humbly submit ourselves to you and to your guidance and pray that, Lord, here we are. We give our hands, our feet, our services to you. Use us to glorify your name, to fulfill your will in our lives. So now we join our prayers together, asking you to continue to fulfill your will upon our lives, upon the life of our loved ones, upon this church, upon this community, and upon this world today. So now we lift up our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now it is time for Young at Heart Moments with Deb Davidson. On the front of your bulletin is a palm frond. You're going to need this partway through this story. So get it ready and practice in your head the word Hosanna. This morning we have a play to share with you about Jesus' teaching. It is presented by the children of Parents' Night Out. When Jesus was about 30 years old, he began his mission on earth to teach people what God really wanted from us. At that time, the Jewish people were expected to follow 613 laws precisely, and it was almost impossible to do. The people relied on making grain and animal sacrifices to atone to God for their sins, and the religious leaders of the day were proud of their status and considered themselves above everyone else. When Jesus began teaching, he said that the greatest commandment was to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but also to love your neighbor as yourself. He often taught with parables, which are stories with a message. One famous parable was the story of the Good Samaritan. The Jews had an ancient rivalry with the Samaritans, and they were considered enemies. But in Jesus' story, a man that had been beaten up by robbers and left for dead by the side of the road, he was ignored by both Jewish priests and a Levite, a man from a priestly tribe. It was a Samaritan man that helped the hurting man. He cleaned his wounds, brought him to an inn, and paid for his continued care. He told people to forgive others endlessly, because God always forgives us whenever we are truly sorry and ask for forgiveness. He told us not to judge others, but to examine our own selves. He taught us to love our enemies and to do good things for them, because this was how God's kingdom would be realized on earth. He said that we should not collect treasures or wealth here on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven by helping others and giving freely. It was stories like this that challenged the complicated laws that they followed, and it made the religious leaders very angry. It was also stories like this that made sense to the people, and Jesus became more and more popular. Jesus taught and healed people all over Galilee and Judea. He gained many followers, including 12 disciples that were his students. Jesus understood what God had planned for him, but disciples and the crowds did not. When he was headed into Jerusalem, the Jewish holy city, he had two of his disciples go into the neighboring town and bring back a donkey colt, telling the owner, "The Lord needs it." He rode the donkey into Jerusalem amid cheering crowds. These crowds waved palm fronds and they laid down their cloaks to make a path for him. See our crowd as they come in waving palm fronds, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna,
Hosanna."
This fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah, which says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous, victorious, lowly, riding on a donkey." Jesus went on to fulfill many more prophecies that proved that he was the Messiah sent by God to save mankind.
Thank you so very much. So well done. And if that didn't get you into the spirit of Palm Sunday, I don't know what will. Okay. So our next hymn is Beneath the Cross of Jesus, number 297, verses 1 through 3.
Of Jesus I
Scripture reading for today is from Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14, the parable of the wedding banquet. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those, who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets, gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning to every one of you worshiping with us. And I extend a warm welcome to each and every one of you here in this beautiful sanctuary, and also to those who have come to join us via Zoom. I pray that the Holy Spirit touches us this morning as we worship together, and give us the joy of salvation, and fill our hearts with His peace. A Jewish man moved into a Catholic neighborhood. Every Friday, the Catholic complained bitterly among themselves because while they had to eat bland fish, the Jew was outside barbecuing delicious aromatic steaks. Insanely jealous of his superior menu and fearing that they might be tempted to lapse by the smell of the steaks, they decided the only solution was to convert him to Catholicism. It took a sizable bribe, but the Jew eventually agreed and was taken to a priest who sprinkled him with holy water and told the Jew to chant, "Born a Jew, raised a Jew, now a Catholic." The Catholics were thrilled, convinced that they would no longer have to put up with the maddening smell every Friday evening. But then the next Friday, the scent of barbecue once again wafted through the neighborhood. The Catholics immediately rushed to the newly converted brother's house to remind him of his new diet. They found him sprinkled water over a steak, chanting, "Born a cow, raised a cow, now a fish." Catholics are known to eat fish on Fridays during the Lenten season. This tradition has deep roots. After the resurrection, Jesus prepared breakfast with broiled fish. Jesus called Peter and said that he wanted to make him fishers of men. A fish symbol was a secretive method to identify each other as Christians. Catholics regard abstaining from pleasure meals with meat on Fridays as a way of fasting in remembrance of Jesus' death on Good Friday. As to Judaism, the Sabbath begins on Friday night. The Jewish law commands people to enjoy the finest food, such as meat and wine. Despite disparities, Christians and Judaism share a common heritage of the Old Testament. We celebrate Palm Sunday, which is today, to commemorate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. To Jews, today is the beginning of the annual feast of unleavened bread. Good Friday, this coming Friday, to us is Passover. I mean, it's a Good Friday to us, but it's a Passover to Jews. Our Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit came down upon the church, is the Feast of Weeks, the day of celebration for the spring harvest for Jews. One of the commonly shared practices is baptism. Wikipedia says, Jewish law and tradition, called tevilah, have some similarity to baptism. And the two have been linked. The tevilah is the act of immersion in naturally sourced water called a mikvah. From which Old Testament practice did baptism originate? During the Old Testament times, a basin was placed at the entrance of the tabernacle to wash priests before they enter the tabernacle. Washing was required as a rite of spiritual purification and also for health reasons. One Old Testament story that we can relate to baptism is Naaman's healing. The general Naaman from Aram had leprosy. He went to Elisha for healing. Elisha told him to go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Naaman was initially upset with Elisha, but later obeyed his word, was cured, and found faith in God. The story of Naaman implies three key components of Christian baptism: washing away impurities, receiving spiritual and physical healing, and having faith in God. As we know, John the Baptist started baptism in the New Testament. Naaman's washing and healing in the Jordan River and John's baptism of repentance in the same river were not a coincidence. Both events share the same components and message. John's baptism was basically a repetition of Naaman's washing, healing, restoration of faith in God. Now, these key components of baptism are at the heart of Jesus' ministry. The first message that Jesus preached at the beginning of his ministry was, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." It was related to washing spiritual impurities, which is sin, the repentance, that is. Jesus often healed people by forgiving sins, and Jesus reconciled sinners with God by forgiving sins. Do you know why Jesus, the sinless Son of God, was baptized by John, a mere human? By being baptized by John, Jesus publicly recognized three components of baptism. He came to wash away sins, heal and make sinners whole, and restore their relationship with God through faith. In addition to Naaman's story, baptism can be related to two watershed events in the Old Testament. The first one is crossing the Red Sea. It was humanly impossible for Israel to break the fate of slavery, and God intervened to break their bondage, which finale was the Passover. The Exodus soon faced a dead end at the Red Sea, and God intervened again so they could walk across it to the Sinai Desert. Crossing the Red Sea is like baptism. You know, baptism is the first rite to begin the spiritual journey. We were once hopelessly lost under the power of Satan, the Pharaoh of darkness. But the blood of the Passover lamb broke the bondage, and we walked across the Red Sea. Red Sea, that is, the crimson sea of blood of the Lamb of God. Our present life is a wilderness period in which we must rely on God for sustenance. While we are in the wilderness, God's pillar of cloud by day and God's pillar of fire by night will accompany us. Then the time will come when our life in the wilderness will end and we'll have to cross the river once more, which is the second rite of passage to enter the promised land. The Jordan River was at flood stage when Israel was ready to cross. God told the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant to go ahead. As soon as their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. The priest stood in the middle of the river, holding the Ark of the Covenant while Israel crossed it. Likewise, when we cross the Jordan River at the end of our pilgrimage here on earth, we will have to rely on the blood of the covenant to go into God's kingdom. Blood of the covenant is the only requirement for our first and the second passage of rites. The parable of the wedding banquet speaks of the exact condition of salvation. A king prepared a wedding feast for his son. The king points to God, the Son, Jesus, and the wedding feast, the end time. People refused to come to the feast. Then the king urged his servants to invite anyone. The king was very gracious in including both the good and the bad, except for one condition, that the wedding guest had to wear wedding clothes. At the end of our pilgrimage, we'll stand alone and naked before our king. Our shame will be disclosed as bright as day. However, God is gracious and generous and does not demand that we satisfy many, but one condition. Cover our shame with wedding clothes to enter his son's wedding. The one and only condition. Years ago, during the presence of term of office of Dwight Eisenhower, the president was vacationing in Denver. It came to his attention that a six-year-old boy named Paul Haley was dying of an incurable cancer. And he had one great dream, that was to someday see the president. Dwight Eisenhower made an act that will long outlive his great speeches. When he said to one of his aides, "Let's go see young Paul Haley." They got into the presidential limousine and they drove over one August Sunday morning to the home of Paul Haley, who didn't know he was coming. Flags on the fenders were flying as this black limousine drove up. Doors flew open and out walked the president, who knocked on the door. "Mr. Donald Haley," the father, wearing blue jeans, an old dirty shirt, and one day's growth of beard, opened the door. He said, "Yes, can I help you?" And the president responded, "Is Paul here? Tell him the president would like to see him." The father didn't have any chance to get ready for his son to meet the president that he long wanted to see. Little Paul, to his amazement, walked around his father's leg and stood and looked up into the face of the man he admired most. Dwight Eisenhower kneeled down, shook his hand, took him out to see the presidential limousine, and before he said goodbye, he hugged little Paul Haley. They shook hands again, and he left. The neighbors were thrilled by the presidential visit, which became the talk of the town. Only man was not entirely happy about it, and that was Donald Haley, who said, "How can I ever forget standing there dressed like I was in those jeans and an old dirty shirt and an unshaven face to meet the President of the United States?" He just wasn't prepared. As this father regretted, many have misconception about how to get ready and think that proper clothes to go into the wedding feast are their services, pride and prestige, social status and positions, fame and positions, and other colorful achievements to fill their obituary. But our Heavenly Father sees nothing else but if we wear wedding clothes, washed white by the blood of the Lamb. All that counts in our life's end is, are we washed as white as snow by acknowledging and repenting our sins and saying, I'm sorry to the Lord. I am sorry may be the hardest three words to say for many reasons. You know, Elton John once wrote a song called Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word. Let me rephrase a few phrases of his song. What do we do to make Jesus love us? What have we got to do to be in Jesus' care? What shall we say when our life is all over? It is so sad because sorry was the hardest word to say, and we have never cared to say it to the Lord. We still have time to prepare for wedding clothes. We still have chances to say, I am sorry for the wrongs we did. And Jesus stands ready to accept our apology. I'm going to have a moment of silent prayer together with you this morning. Would you join me in prayer? God knows every secret we have. We all stand naked before God. Let us open our hearts to the movement of the Holy Spirit within us and humbly acknowledge our sins and say sorry to our Savior. I'm sorry, Lord. I have sinned against you. I am so sorry that you had to suffer on the cross on my behalf. Please wash me anew by your precious blood. Amen.
Now is the time for the presentations of our tithes and offerings. There is a plate at the back where you can leave your offering for the church, or you can bring it to the church office. Thank you. Thank you.
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures He belong. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of leaves. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia. Lord Jesus, with this offering, we recognize that you gave yourself for our salvation in Calvary. With this thanksgiving, we recommit ourselves to be your disciples in the world today. Receive this offering, use it that it may be blessed and be used to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And our final hymn today is Just As I Am Without One Plea, number 357, verses 1 through 3.
I come. Thursday, we will celebrate the Maundy Thursday by having worship here at 7 o'clock at night. And Good Friday ecumenical service is going to be held at a church in Kelly Mesa at noon, and I will email you the location with the address. Let us pray. Lord, as we celebrate this Passion Week, we are reminded of your great deed for us once more. You love us so much, you willingly gave yourself up for our salvation. And here we are responding to what you did. We recommit ourselves to you and to your service. And may we always be ready to carry out your will in the world today. Send us forth, O Lord, with the empowerment of your Holy Spirit and in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fast, strong, and true, Lord, he will guide you.